This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Nowhere left to go.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The day had to come when bank stocks would hit rock bottom and people would start buying them again. That day was yesterday. Bank shares had their best session in at least 16 years. The price of oil dropped some more, and bam, an instant rally on Wall Street. All the major indexes had close to 3% gains. The Dow shot up 276 points to 11,239. The NASDAQ added 69. The S&P 500 was up 30. In Asia today, 1 to 2% gains. European shares are also higher so far. Oil is at about $134 a barrel. Oil companies need to use it or lose it. That's the idea behind a bill in the House today. The bill would pressure companies to tap their existing oil leases before buying any new ones. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sam Eaton reports.
The bill claims oil companies are sitting on some 68 million acres of federal leases, both on land and offshore, that have yet to produce a single drop of crude. But Sarah Banaszak with the American Petroleum Institute says there's a reason.
Leases don't come with MapQuest directions that say drill here for 50 million barrels. It takes a process of exploration.
Banaszak says developing an oil lease, especially offshore, can take up to 10 years and cost as much as $1 billion. Money, she says, oil companies may not be willing to risk if the use-it-or-lose-it legislation passes. But Phil Sharp with the energy think tank Resources for the Future says the bill isn't about boosting domestic oil supply. It's about making a statement.
And the statement here appears to be that there is next to nothing that the government can aggressively do that can quickly change the world price of oil.
He says expanding offshore oil production may pay off in the long term, but it's far from a solution for today's high gas prices. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
The high cost of feeding cattle is becoming a pretty steep burden for meat producers. That's why the Ag Department wants to allow grazing and hay production on farmland set aside for conservation. Of course, environmental groups are saying, hold on a second. A federal judge in Seattle will hear arguments about that today. Renita Jablonski has more.
The government pays farmers not to farm certain chunks of land. It's called the Conservation Reserve Program. The CRP helps protect wildlife like sage grouse. The National Wildlife Federation says grouse could be hurt by an emergency program to allow grazing and hay production on CRP land. The Federation's Dwayne Havarka says that's why his group sued the USDA.
They need to do an environmental impact statement so they understand what the impacts that decision are on 24 million acres of land across the country.
Danielle Quist at the American Farm Bureau Federation says cattle farmers will be the real victims if the injunction against the feed plan continues.
Commodity prices for feed are at an all-time high. Hay is scarce, and people need a little bit of assistance.
Under the USDA plan, ranchers would keep collecting subsidies in addition to any payoff from producing hay or allowing grazing. I'm Renita Jablonski for Marketplace.
The European Union has agreed to extend music royalties from 50 years to 95 years. The Parliament still has to approve it. But that would mean the Beatles, The Who, and other groups would still be getting paid when they're 104. Paul McCartney and Roger Daltrey pushed for this. They were apparently looking out for their fellow aging rockers. But seriously, what rock star is going to live that long?
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrive and Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit Fortune 500 company helping members thrive in retirement.
You can learn more at Thrivent.com/retirement. And by the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with Teach for America to bring math and science teachers to under-resourced public schools. More information at teachforamerica.org.
Not that most people can afford to go to Europe right now, but it's still a great summer vacation. Amsterdam is still one of the biggest draws for its canals, art museums, other things. Actually, for better or worse, the city is trying to clean things up a bit. Brett Neely has our story.
Amsterdam's Red Light District is an amusement park of sin. In red-lit storefront windows, barely dressed prostitutes pose seductively and try to lure customers. But lately, some of the windows have stopped showing off skin. One window displays the latest haute couture from fashion designer Conny Groenewegen. She says the location is perfect.
When I walk through this neighborhood and I see the designer's windows and then I see the naked girls, somehow it's complementary to each other. So you can fit the dresses on the girls, you know, imaginary.
Connie is in the Red Light District thanks to a new city-sponsored program called Red Light Fashion. She pays less than $250 a month for her window, a tenth of what the rent would otherwise be. 16 young designers have moved into former prostitution windows. Interior decorators and artists will soon join them. Edwin Opedijk works for the city of Amsterdam. He says the Red Light District was getting too sleazy.
There were too many coffee shops, too many brothels, too much of the same thing.
Last year, the city helped broker a deal to buy property all over the area. A notorious landlord who was allegedly involved with human trafficking walked off with 25 million euros, so long as he promised to leave for good. Other landlords have been getting similar offers. As a result, almost 20% of the prostitution windows in the area have been taken out of commission. Opedijk says Amsterdam isn't trying to outlaw prostitution, but the district's future lies in going upscale.
It will be nice restaurants, fashion stores, erotic entertainment with coffee shops.
But the process, which involves paying millions to landlords to entice them to leave, strikes many of the neighborhood's prostitutes as unfair. Yokita Homa is with the nonprofit Prostitution Information Center.
They get millions of euros for that, but the people who work behind the windows are the ones to live with the consequences.
She says that gentrification is increasing the competition for windows and that rents will rise for the neighborhood's prostitutes. It's a phenomenon almost as old as the world's oldest profession. In Amsterdam's Red Light District, I'm Brett Neely for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.